located. Today we're talking to Joseph Galvers. Could you tell me, when did your parents come to this area?
Well, the book says 1852.
Did they settle in this particular farm at that time? Or?
Well, my grandmother settled on the homestead over here, and my granddad...
How far from here was the homestead?
Just across the line.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, my brother and I are still farming part of the Cummins estate. And my grandpa Galvez, great-grandpa Galvez settled in Tolton, which is now the Tilly Park and most of that stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Where Peerless
was. Well, who was George and Bessie Galvez
to you? Were they your grandfather?
That was my grandfather's brother.
Oh, your grandfather's brother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it says that Jesse was John L. Smith's daughter. Is that the Smith that had the sawmill in Tualatin?
No, that was Bessie.
Yeah.
Bessie Galbraith. She married Don Galbraith, which is my uncle.
He was your uncle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, his son was your coach at Tualatin.
Yeah, I had Don Galbraith in high school as a coach, yeah. So he was your what, cousin?
Yeah.
How many children were there in your family?
In my family?
Yeah, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
John Galvez was my dad, and there was four boys and four girls, and the fifth boy was the oldest, Benjamin, died.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 years old.
Are any of the rest of them still living?
They're all living, but my youngest brother. He got killed over on the highway. A drunk ran into him and killed him.
Mm-hmm. When they homesteaded this farm, do you remember how many acres it was in?
No, I really don't. I've got the original plat around somewhere signed by one of the presidents. That's the Cummins. Now, the Galvez estate in Tualatin, I don't have too much on that.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I know where it was. It was still in the family owned by Lai Curtis up until his death.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was divided up in about 40 acres.
You say they came here in 1852?
Yeah.
By wagon train?
Yeah. My grandfather Joe was only 6 months old, I think, when he came across the plain.
That's interesting. My folks came here in 1853. Wagon train.
The story is that my granddad's father, Samuel, they come out of Pennsylvania and went into Iowa, and then they went to New Orleans and all got died in the cholera with Grandpa's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went over in Mexico, and not Mexico, but Texas, and helped St. Houston chase the Mexicans out there, and then they come back and married a bird, and then they come to Oregon in 52.
What was his wife's name?
You got me. I by the note of that, I looked it up before.
I met her family name, if you knew.
I think she was one of the birds.
That's interesting, because I have some birds in my family history, too. I don't know if the same birds or not. But
I've got all the history of the bird family, too.
Yeah.
One of the Fords looked it up.
Did you go to grade school out here, or?
Yeah. We're sitting within about 500 feet of it.
Oh, is that right? The building was close to where we are now.
Yeah, right back there where that pile of brush is, and then last year I finished up down the new steel plant now.
Yeah, that's an office building now, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fellows that took it over done a real nice job.
Yeah, it's a nice looking building. You never know, it's as old as it is. Did you ever know Art Castile?
I knew who he was, yeah.
Because he was my uncle. He was born here in Sipol someplace, but I don't know sure just where. Charlie Castile lived out here when he was born.
Well, there wasn't really too many places here.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of your neighbors, any of the people who lived out in this area at that time?
Well, most of them were related or else they lived here. Serginos was here. They come about 1888, I guess, or somewhere in there. And Cole, which Frank Cole married my cousin Neva West. Their house is still standing over there. And that's there wasn't too many people really here.
What were the roads like when you lived out here? Were they
same roads as we got now, only they were gravel.
They were gravel, they weren't corduroy or anything like that?
No, all gravel.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's what I said, what the hell are we going to do? The hundreds of people moving in here in the same roads as what they were 50, 60 years ago. The only difference between them then and now is the blacktop.
Yeah.
That's all.
In your original home, what kind of heat did you have?
Wood.
Did you put in gas or anything later?
No.
What kind of lights did you have?
Oh, when I was a kid, we had a coal oil lamp.
Kerosene lamp, coal
oil. Yeah. And then when you have an electric, run the electricity. It didn't take everybody long to change over, I'll tell you that.
About when was that, do you remember?
It was back when I was in the grade school. So it must have been in the 20s.
Yeah, I think that's when most of this area got electricity, in the 20s.
I've got a wood stove in the house, but I sure as hell don't burn wood in it. I burn presto log.
Oh, yeah.
God damn this wood business. You used to go out and fall a tree and bug it up and then split it and then haul it down. Then they come in with the old wood saw and cut it up, and then you'd have to wheel it down and sew it in the basement and stack it up and then split it and pack it upstairs. Good Lord.
Heck of a lot of work.
Yeah. Everybody talks about the good old days to hell with it as far as I'm concerned.
Now, if you buy it, it's a darn expensive. My gosh, it's $80 to $100 a cord in some places.
Oh, yeah.
For good dry wood.
I can get a unit of presto logs and it'll last me just as long.
Yeah?
No fuss, no muss.
Sure. You remember your first automobile in the family?
Not really. It was an old EMF. They used to call them every morning and fix them. I used to have a badge off of it, but I don't know where it's at anymore. I remember the Model T that they used to have. In fact, that garage, you know, you come in that garage, it was half tore down and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one my dad built for his Model T.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, my nephew was living there, my sister.
Do you remember, did your Model T have the front fender, was it square or was it round?
I don't remember.
The first one we had was square.
Yeah.
Then the next one, about 3 years later, was rounded. I know they made a difference. I think they changed them in 22 or something like that.
First car I ever owned, I wasn't 16 yet. I got a old Maxwell, which is a forerunner of the Plymouth.
Yeah.
If I had that, I'd have $1 million today.
Oh yeah, it'd be worth something.
Yeah.
My aunt and uncle had a Maxwell.
Yeah. I think in 25 they went to the Plymouth is when they just changed the names all they did.
Yeah. Do you remember when you got the first radio?
Yeah. First radio I ever saw was a crystal set.
That's right.
I think John Sergino built it or something. And I remember they was all down there and listened to, John would listen to the World Series and then announce what it was. Who was playing, I don't remember. I wasn't a hell of a lot interested in them.
Had earphones.
Yeah.
And you take your little dealing on the
wire and move into
you. Found a place on the crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bet every one of us has made one at some time or other.
Oh, yeah, they were quite the thing when they first came out.
Yeah.
Huh? Anything, recall anything else about your early life out here? That
hell, the same as yours or anybody else. Hunted and fished and caught crawfish and about all we had to do. Now, you talk about the radio. I don't know why in the hell it made me think about the guy come down and said that in that water can, I think it was. He was showing, you know, in those days it's open, show you how many days you get. He asked my mother, he said, what do you think of it? She said, well, you don't stand one station long enough to let a guy know what to think about it.
Had to experiment, huh?
Yeah.
When
talking about airplane, maybe you made me think when I was a kid, Ed Rasmussen lived up here in the corner, right by the railroad track, and his dad and mother went down to Long Beach. They used to go down there all the time in the summertime to the coast. And his dad had two drums of gas in the basement there. So Ed was quite a guy, and he got acquainted with some guy in the airplane. He rode out and landed at Granddad's Field, and they spent a week flying around down here in that plane and filled up his dad's gasoline. They'd siphon it out of the barrel and then pack it out the airplane and strain it to his damage can. I can still see old Ed up there wing walking on the plane.
Yeah. When your farm was first established out here, what did they raise? Onions at that time, or?
Onions, same as everybody. Onions and grain and hay and horses, cattle.
Where was the market for onions in, mostly?
As far as I know, Portland.
Portland.
At one time, this Sherwood, or they called it the Sherwood area, which included Tualatin and Malloy's and Canton and Shoals and stuff, was the leading onion producer in the state of Oregon in here.
Yeah, I know it had a history for that.
Yeah. In fact, I got a newspaper around somewhere that tells about it, how many they shipped out in 1914 and stuff.
Well, don't they still raise onions out here?
Yeah, but not like they used to. Now the Shoals area is gone, Kenton area is gone, Malloy Swamp, you know what that is now.
Yeah.
There. By the way, Uncle Don dug most of them ditches over there, and he used to leave Tualatin on a train from Malloy Station, and he'd pack his dynamite. And I always wondered why he had two lunchboxes, and he told him he had somebody he was bringing lunch for, but one of them was filled with dynamite.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He used to laugh. He said, well, they'd call him, he'd throw him in jail. Yeah. And he said, damn, if he was going to walk up to Malloy Station from Tualatin.
Oh, that's right. You know where your father was born?
Born here.
He was born here.
Yeah.
Where was your mother born?
I think she was born up. You know, come to think of it, I can't quite think. I think she was born in Portland.
At least they were from Oregon here. They didn't.
Oh yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know your grandparents pretty well?
I knew my grandfathers real well. Mm-hmm. In fact, I used to run around with them all the time. Yeah, Grandpa Joe and Grandpa Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any children?
Two, boy and a girl.
How many grandchildren?
Madeline, how many grandkids we got?
Six.
And four great-grandkids? And four great-grandkids. Change in this country. I say isn't it peculiar how times change? When you and I were kids, Sherwood was a hub of this whole community. They had two automobile agencies, a grain elevator, a movie theater, hardware stores, and grocery stores.
Cannery?
Cannery and the whole world.
There was a leather shop, tanning.
Well, that didn't come into later.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you and I were kids,
yeah,
things sure changed. Now look at the difference.
You're just out of the city limits of Tualatin, aren't you?
Yeah, Cypole Road's the city limit.
It comes clear out to Cypole Road now, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are they, you know, any idea what they estimate the population is now? I've never heard.
I've never either. Never really heard. In fact, I got a deed or receipt or something that when the railroad went through, they put in the switch, they had to put a switch in at the Saipol station, which is now in the Tualatin city limits, that they had to put in a switch in there that would hold 3 boxcars and maintain it, and if they didn't do it, they would have to forfeit to my granddad $300 in gold coin. So Southern Pacific owes me $300 in gold coin. I'll show it to you after a while.
Why don't you try to collect?
Well, I don't know. I don't want my brother to get a hold of it. The one that's a lawyer, he's yours. I'll try to collect. I also have a piece of paper in there where Lee Curtis Galbraith, which was owned the Galbraith homestead in Tualatin down there, sold the right of way to the Portland Railroad Company for the, which is now the SP. I'll show that to you after a while.
Do you have any idea what the taxes were on this place originally when you homesteaded it?
Well, I've got this to say, that there was a woman that bought the old Galbraith homestead in Tualatin down there, and in tearing down the old house, she found my great-grandfather's army discharge from the Texas Army or what it was, and she also found the tax statement on the place. Now, I've asked 3 times for different people in Tualatin that knew her, and they all promised to give me a copy of my granddad's, great-granddad's discharge, but none of them ever fell through with it, even those papers I did then.
Have you always ran the farm? Or did you work out as
a... Oh, I've worked out. I've done a little bit of everything. I come back to farming in 45.
Do you remember the first job you ever had away from the farm?
It was farm work, so it wasn't really nothing.
Remember what you got paid?
I think I picked berries and got 4 bits.
I was talking to somebody the other day. My first job is weeding onions down Nyberg's. I got 10 cents an hour.
Yeah. Really, we had enough work in the place that, by God, you didn't have time to work out.
That's right.
Yeah. 34, I got mad and I took a job with my cousin driving truck at Salem for $2 a day, 10 hours a day, and room and board, which was pretty good money at that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you ever raise any cattle?
Oh, a few.
Nothing, no milk cows or anything like that, just beef cattle.
I went into milk cows for 2 years and that cured me of milking cows.
Well, how long have you been married?
Melvin, this is our 48th year, isn't it?
Yeah.
48 years.
I don't know if this will happen or not, but this is going to the archives of the Historical Society, and maybe somewhere, sometime, somebody might want to write a history of this part of the country, and they may want to refer to your comments in their notes. Is that all right with you?
As far as I'm concerned, I probably won't be around here. So it'll make a hell of a lot of difference.